ready for the tip of our Sonic Blockbuster. Dan Shulman, Jay Billis with Illinois and Michigan. As Jay mentioned, without DeSumo, first-team All-America caliber player, they're going to go inside as much as they can.
Good shot there by Demonte Williams.
Rivers for three, and Michigan jumps on top. And Curbelo going coast to coast, and he lays it in. Frazier, the lefty, up and good, and the Illini take the lead. Curbelo with a turnaround, and he's in the double figures already now with 11. Curbelo driving again. Turnaround, too strong. Offensive rebound, Grandison. Miller for three, got it. Keeping the ball on a string. Now into Coburn, and about the best position he's had all night, Jay, and it pays off. Dickinson did not stay connected to Coburn. As Coburn goes to the bench with his third, Bajanashvili back in. And Smith with a corner three. And the lead is down to eight for Illinois. Grandison for three. Big bucket for the Illini. Step back three. Yes! Wow. Illinois was up 11 at the half after this three by Miller. They're now up by 16. Nobody has more than 6 points tonight for the Wolverines. Curbelo, no. Follow, yes. That's the freshman Coleman Hawkins from Sacramento. Illinois looking to solidify its hold on a potential one seed. And another drive and lay-in for Frazier, who's got a game-high 16.
Trent Frazier is killing it in this game. He's been fantastic.
Coburn inside, and he's got a dozen. Curbelo all the way to the goal. And that is Zach Griffith, the senior from Fisher, Illinois. The impression by Illinois doing it without Ayo Dosunmu, solidifying their spot at least for the moment, you would think, as a one seed. But remember, they got another big one coming. They're going to Columbus Saturday afternoon. 76-53. What a night for Brad Underwood and the Illini.
Reddit.
Accusing 18 to 23-year-olds and their coach of ducking a game, which they didn't do, and all that kind of stuff.
Run from it.
I think Michigan's going to win. Do think that the Michigan players heard the Illinois coach call their character into question, and I do think that that's been made of notice. So I think the players have that much more focus.
Destiny arrives all the same.
This team grew without Ayo Dosunmu. Terrific guard play. Trent Frazier and Curbelo were absolutely phenomenal. And a tremendous defensive game plan by Brad Underwood. The ability to keep everything in front, not get split, not overhelp. And the job they did on Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner was absolutely incredible. That is a big-time win.
It's Michigan's first loss of the season here at Chrysler Arena, and just the second all year.
But man, the way that Illinois did this without Dosunmu was so impressive. I mean, it was at one point almost a 30-point margin here. Trent Frazier, maybe the game of his life. Illinois has nine. Look at this. Nine quad one wins. Easily on the one line right now.
Oh, I'm so happy! I'm so happy! This is the best day of my life!
I love this song. Piper's trying to get energy.
Sure am.
You know who's been quiet this whole time? Trevor Valise. We got to get his thought on this basketball game last night as Illinois pounds Michigan 76-53. Before I get to Trevor, though, we just talked about should Illinois be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Well, you guys did what you do best. As a media, you asked Brad that exact question.
And I'm pretty illiterate when it comes to what's going on in the world of college basketball. I look at our stuff and our league, and but I would be challenged to find a better win in college basketball this year, better road win anyway. I mean, in all the analytics, they're up there. So, you know, I think it's got to make a pretty solid statement. I mean, a lot of people have us somewhere in that one or two line anyway. You know, beating a team that's two in the country and up there in almost every analytic is got to be a pretty strong statement, and then to do that without, you know, college basketball's best player, you know, pretty big statement.
Amen.
How cool is it to be talking one seeds?
Oh, every time Illinois is a one seed, they've gone to the Final Four. No, there was one year they got Elite Eight.
Yeah, we talked about.
Yeah, we just talked about it.
Last week.
Okay,
at least the Elite Eight.
Okay,
when they've been a top two seed, either a one seed or a two seed.
The win last night, that was the first time Illinois won on the road at a one or two
ranked team in the country. Is that right?
Correct.
You had so many cool bullet points in your article, the three picks. I always say that wrong. Three keys and a pick. That I was going through those bullet points, and every time I want to print them out and bring them to the show, and then I forget to do it. But there were so many things that, I mean, Illinois leads the all-time series with Michigan, I think now by 5 games. Brad Underwood's 3-0 against Juwan Howard. I mean, this Michigan team, I don't, they're good, but man, did Illinois make a statement. Trevor Valise, you have not said anything today. Are you just like us where it's like, I don't know what to say?
There's a little bit of a loss for words, and we've talked about before how for some reason it's 10 times easier to rip on a loss for 2 hours than it is to gloat on a win for 2 hours.
It is.
I'm not going to complain about that, but last night was so incomprehensible from an on-paper standpoint that it was sort of even hard to analyze it.
Yeah.
You know, just because, like, the circumstances and the context and the factors with this game, I mean, you would have had to put it at like 0.0001% that Illinois right. wins this game by almost 30.
That's unreal.
When you factor in, and, you know, we talked about, is this one of the most impressive performances ever? I think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you've never even gotten a top two road win, a road win against a top two team ever. And you just got one without the best player on your team at All-American.
Goodness. My goodness. Have you guys had anybody today, and we've had a couple on the text line, say, are we better without Io? I'm like, stop.
Don't even do that.
Hit the button.
Don't do that.
No. Okay. Or I just want to say...
You guys don't know sh**.
Yeah, we need Io. We need Io. But certainly this team, there was an energy level the last couple of games that was unreal.
If you're putting up triple doubles and he's had two... Or just that many assists. You're not a selfish superstar.
No.
I think he makes the right play. I think he elevates other people around him. When those guys play at that level like they have, that's why you think about the peak of Illinois with, if you somehow got that Trent Frazier with Io being Io, with Kofi being Kofi, get the Adam Miller that showed up against Nebraska, that's when Illinois can be as dangerous as anybody.
Amen. Amen to that.
It has been crazy how good they've been.
Yeah.
And I'm not implying anything here. I'm just saying, if you pause the Nebraska game at one point, they're up almost 20. You pause the Wisconsin game at one point, they were up by as many as, what was it, like 19 or something?
Right.
And then you pause this game, they were up by as many as 29 or whatever. I mean, obviously not all those games finished that way because Trice went nuts.
Right.
And whatnot. But I mean, at a certain point in all these three games he's been gone, you've literally run the opponent off the floor.
Yeah, and that's true.
And again, I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying not only have you stepped up and, I don't know, beaten Nebraska in overtime, had a close game throughout against Wisconsin, yep. and then lost to Michigan or something. You almost trounced all three of these teams that you played without him.
That's amazing. And I think that speaks more to your team. That speaks more to the guys on this team knowing that they need to step up and show what they can do. And now... we all want Io back, and now it's the matter of the transition to getting him back. Now, how does everybody else transition to that? Obviously, minutes for some guys will go down a little to what they've been playing these last three games, but now it's the idea that you keep that intensity with everybody on this team, plus throw in an All-American to your team. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Before we get to Stephen Gentry at 5:30, and he's going to talk a lot about the offense. He is the one that kind of calls the offensive plays, makes the offense go, if you will. Before we do that, we have to hit on the defense. And, Derek, we talked about it in the first hour. The defense absolutely shut Michigan down. All these studs, and we're going to hear it from Trent in a minute, on how they were able to shut down Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers, Hunter Dickinson. We know Kofi did his job there. It's just amazing what that defense was able to do in the sense that they made Michigan, a team that flows so easily and so well offensively, they made them freeze in their tracks essentially and make it look like they had no clue what they were doing.
They were lost. They were completely overwhelmed. Illinois got into their space and just made them uncomfortable, not able to run their actions. We talked about earlier in the week that Michigan runs a lot of great sets. And can get different guys in ball screens and just play inside out with Dickinson, and they break you down and kick it out and hit threes. when they're rolling, it's pretty basketball to watch. And last night, everything was difficult for them. And for Illinois, bring up the Wisconsin game again. Like,
yep.
Wisconsin was shooting 25% for most of that game, a large portion of that game. And then to go into Michigan, and they have the worst offensive showing of their season. And this is a team that is in a top-level group, top five in the country offensive efficiency. So for Illinois to be able to do that, we know this team has talented scorers.
No doubt.
We know that Io can go off. We know that Kofi. We know that as far as three-point shooters, you have a number of those. But to be able to buckle down defensively, show that grit and toughness that they haven't had at that level, clearly, I mean, not throughout the course of the season,
right,
consistently, but to reach a different level there, that's how you beat or compete against a Baylor.
Yep.
That's how you're able to go up against a Gonzaga that's just like, oh, man, that offensively, they're just a juggernaut. If Illinois locks down like that, I mean, it's at least a game.
Yeah, because didn't you, I mean, let's be honest, like if you sat there and said, we got to play Baylor again, or we've got to play Gonzaga, albeit they don't play a great schedule, but their non-con was really good. But when you look at that, you kind of can sense like going into the Michigan game last night, none of us thought they were going to win, but to be able to just absolutely lock down a team that skilled offensively, like you just said, that has to give you hope as a fan of knowing that you're going to be in any game you play in that tournament. As the rounds get deeper or slower, the team, whatever you want to say, not slower. I mean, it's just going to be fun. Trent Frazier on how they were able to do it last night.
Like I said, before the game, you know, Chin challenged, you know, Ace, DeMonte, Jake, all those guys, you know, that, you know, they wanted to clash the glass. You know, they were going to make, you know, big plays, tough shots. They challenged them tonight, you know, on, you know, guarding our yard. You know, that's what it's all about tonight. You know, sitting down and one-on-one guarding your yard. So, you know, those guys stepped up for us. Jake and Monte did an unbelievable job guarding those guys, being really physical, and, you know, and limiting their looks or making it tough. So those guys stepped up tonight, took the challenge, and they were really good for us tonight.
Well, I think one of the things we've been trying to do is, you know, improve our number. We started the year so bad in terms of our DER, defensive efficiency rating, and you know, from day one, we've said you've got to be a top 15 team to be have a chance to be a Final Four team. We've been pushing those numbers up and up and up. And we did a great job at Wisconsin for the last 2 minutes. And I do think it tonight was very solid, very sound. Ken did a great job. And on the defensive side, Jen did an unbelievable job on the offensive side. You know, helping put game plans together that allowed us to be successful. And but we're growing in that area and we're becoming more physical, which we were not early. And, you know, tonight when we get 50-50 balls and take charges and dive on the floor, those are all things that help drive those numbers as well.
Let's go. I just could not believe Michigan's sitting there today going, man, we just came up against a defense that we had no idea existed.
I have a quick question for you before we take a break.
Yeah.
Do you have that anxiety that there's not much left as far as guarantee and that you're about to hit the where it gets real part of the season? Or after last night, you're like, okay, bring it on, we're ready.
You know, that's a great question. Probably the former. There's the anxiety. Well, Lucas said it best today. He said, Dad, as great as I felt last night with that win would be as bad as I would feel if we stub our toe in the second round or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, I think I've always been like that though. I've always been, even in 04, 05, maybe not so much in 88, 89, but that 04, 05 team, I was still like, oh man, they've accomplished so much, but yet there's still that last thing they have to accomplish. And I think what it is, and I think the answer to all of that, Derek, is this. Illinois never won a national title. And I feel like when other fan bases are talking about Illinois, there is no doubt in their mind that Illinois is a great college basketball program. I don't think anybody would sit there and say, you guys haven't proven that through the years. There's no doubt that Illinois is. But I think for the cautious Illinois fan, there's still that one last hurdle to prove that you belong with the rest of the great college basketball programs that are out there. So I think it's because of that. Because essentially for an Illini fan, we've been to the Final Four. We've been to a championship game now. What haven't we done? We haven't won it. And I feel like until that happens, and after it happens, you're going to see one of the more relaxed fan bases that have ever lived. Because it will be like, we have finally proven to ourselves, and maybe this is just fan expectation, fan pressure. I said it with the Arizona Cardinals. When they made it to the Super Bowl, I felt like as a Cardinals fan, finally everybody had to take me serious. Finally. Instead of being the laughingstock every season in the NFL. And I will feel that if Illinois wins a national title. I'll feel like, you know what? We've won a national title plus been to a Final Four five times now. And look at we're the 15th winningest program in the country. We are one of the best, and we deserve it. So I think the anxiety there, and maybe I'm not speaking for everybody, is that.
That's a good call. And I know we got to take a break, but for me, it's just wherever you stop on the timeline as far as the tournament, I'm just not ready for it to be over.
No, right.
That's what gives me kind of the anxiety is like, I agree. We're almost to the, to the finish line.
And then it just becomes so sudden, right? Unless you are cutting those nets down. Stephen Gentry is going to be a big part of this Illinois team. Maybe achieving that goal. He's going to join us next. Illinois assistant basketball coach. It is The Drive.
Allerton Equipment Repair is your trusted truck repair and service center in Central Illinois. Owner Chuck Bailey and his team of NAPA certified mechanics have an extensive background in heavy duty truck maintenance and repairs. They understand the importance of accurate truck diagnostics and fast quality service for all types of repairs. Their team of mechanics are ready to work for you. Open Monday through Friday and Saturday by appointment. Give them a call at 217-834-3470. Allerton Equipment Repair. That's 834-3470.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Long's Garage is the longest running auto repair shop in Champaign-Urbana, and for good reason. Whether you're looking for new tires from any major brand or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, come to Long's Garage for honest service from ASC certified technicians. They can help you with tire balancing, tire inspection, tire mounting, tire rotation, and so much more. All your tire needs will be fulfilled by the technicians at Long's, which is a Napa Auto Care facility, meaning you're in the best hands. Visit them today at 503 East Main Street in Urbana for tire service you can trust. 367-3942.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Battery.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lante. Derek Piper to my left. Trevor Valise here as well. Put all the sound together from the game last night. Post-game, Brad Underwood, Trent Frazier, you heard it all. We got more to play on that as we go along this week. Next in line, Illinois and Ohio State in Columbus on Saturday. Joining us now on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line is assistant coach Stephen Gentry. Coach, I would ask how you're doing, but I assume that's a dumb question.
Yeah, no, all is well here in the Illini office today, so heck of a road win for sure.
How do you, as coaches, there are certain games that you win and you move on. There's certain games you lose and you move on. You just beat Michigan by 23 points. Can you move on for that quick?
Yeah, I think so. We obviously always want to build on, the recent success we've had and learn. From each game and apply it to the next one. But I mean, we're used to winning games now. I mean, not to take it for granted, of course, but Yeah, no, we're used to winning big games. So, yeah, it's just on to on the next one, and the job's not done yet.
Coach, I know a lot of fans out there really enjoyed the video from the locker room, and they've enjoyed a lot of the. I mean, Brad has
no doubt
been pretty animated, pretty fun. What's that like when he comes storming in there and the guys just embrace him like that?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, what these players are going through, you know, just with the daily testing and the quarantining and not being able to probably get the normal college experience. So just to have that outlet of sheer joy. Of having a big time win with your brothers, and just to be able to share that in the locker room, that's what makes this all so special. College basketball is just environments like that, and one that we certainly won't forget.
Mm-mm. You've been around Brad a long time, and you can just tell that this team in particular really buys in to
big
what
time.
You guys, you know, culture wise, and yeah, he can be tough in certain moments and demanding, but what do you think he does to make sure that, you know, that chemistry is right, and what's maybe particularly right about it with this team?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I think you nailed it. I mean, I think this team has certainly taken on the personality, you know, of Brad. Didn't immediately come that way, right? I had some bumps in the road along that process. But, yeah, I mean, that's the genius of Brad. I mean, he's such a great motivator from an individual standpoint, from a team standpoint. And I just think he's done a terrific job of getting all these guys aligned with the same vision. Yeah, we all have personal goals, but he's just done a terrific job of getting everyone aligned, and our team motto is all in, getting everyone all in this year to buy into their roles and into our team goals.
Follow Stephen Gentry on Twitter. It's at Coach S. Gentry. Now, Coach, I'm an eighth grade coach, so I'm obviously right there with you when it comes to understanding the game of basketball. I'm kidding. All right, but I want to ask you this. I know there's one thing that I understand. Having a certain player on your team that does every little thing to keep things going, and I'm thinking of Jacob Grandison last night and just all year, it is amazing how he's always in the right spot to tip a rebound, to save a ball out of bounds, you know, from going in and it leads to a bucket. What does that mean to have a guy, and how come everybody in the world can't do that? I mean, there's a certain quality to a guy that can just do that night out, night in and night out.
Yeah, no, it's such a credit to Jake. I mean, he plays with such what we call a motor. And it's just playing hard. You know, it's as simple as that. But, yeah, he's got an incredible nose for the ball.
Right.
You know, on the glass. And the other thing is, too, I mean, the reason he gets these rebounds is because he goes, like, every single time. And I know that sounds really simple, but a lot of players, a shot goes up, and they just don't even make an effort.
Right.
You know, to crash. And he's obviously not getting all of them, but he goes, you know, every single time, and has had some huge putbacks here as of late. But and then on the offensive end, he's what we call, and this is Derek and I were actually talking about this earlier, he's our connector. And that's the reason our offense is so much better this year, is he connects all of our actions. And we might run a set play, nothing's there. Jake is then flashing and connecting us and moving the ball and getting us into you know, our next action. And that's why our flow is so much better. It's guys like he and DeMonte that are connecting our offense and keeping the flow going. But he just does it with such an incredible pace. That has so much value.
Coach, we talked about this some earlier between ourselves, but I'm sure a lot of people are curious just as far as the adjustments without Io. And you've had your fingerprints all over this offense that's been ranked in the top 15, top 10 offensive efficiency in the country. To put up the kind of production you did against a great defense in Michigan, a very good defense in Wisconsin, what did you have to tweak and adjust and to really get that kind of production to be able to win those games without an All-American?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was, you know, a couple things. I think it was knowing, you know, what actions and what plays worked without Io, you know, like what plays were best for Trent, what plays were best for Kofi, and then doubling down on those. And that's a credit just to our analytics here of knowing what works and what doesn't. And I think, too, you know, we made some minor tweaks in terms of, you know, putting Curbelo and Trent sometimes in that spot in terms of ball screen actions that Io is typically in, just so that way we weren't totally reinventing the wheel. And it's like, hey, let's keep Adam and Kofi and everyone else in their same spots. Hey, we're just going to plug Curbelo in Io's spot and run, you know, the similar actions. But we also added, you know, three new plays for Michigan, and really there are three best plays, you know, for Michigan in terms of how we knew they were going to guard us in ball screens. And then, hey, obviously it takes players stepping up and making plays, right? I mean, Trent and Curbelo were terrific in middle pick and roll, especially. That's where we really wanted to attack Dickinson. So, yeah, it was just a few minor tweaks, so to speak, and the players did an unbelievable job of executing that plan. But I think it also just goes to show the depth, you know, of this team, that we do have multiple options. And we've been in this position before, too, right? You know, Ryo was in foul trouble at Indiana, so we had to kind of come up with a package of plays and a plan there. So that already kind of gave us a snapshot of, you know, what life looked like without Io. But now, you know, hey, when he does return, then it just gives us even more weapons to work with.
A few more minutes with Stephen Gentry, Illinois basketball assistant coach. The idea that you've played three games without Io, and who knows when he will be back, maybe this Saturday against Columbus, is there credibility, I don't know what I'm trying to say, to the idea that the idea that they played without him and have had to kind of raise their games, and now here comes your All-American back. You know, I've talked to a lot of guys about, well, we'll see, you know, they'll step up, and then we'll see what happens when Io gets back. How does that work? In other words, like, when he's back, has it helped these guys, you think, just having him gone for a couple of games to raise their game, if you will? That's the worst question I've ever asked in my life, Coach.
No, there's no question. I mean, I think it just gives these other players you know, confidence. I think it gives some data for our staff that, you know, I mean, obviously I was going to play a ton of minutes, right? But maybe we can shave off 3 or 4 minutes here or there to keep him fresher,
right?
You know, in postseason play when these games come quicker hitting. You know, hey, maybe we don't need to ride Io as hard, you know, offensively. Again, he's still going to dominate the ball. We're still going to do what we do. But, you know, maybe we can go back to that package of plays that we ran, you know, for Curbelo and Trent, you know, when we didn't have Io, and you can give Io a break. I think it just puts, gives you more weapons, so to speak. I think it just gives other players more confidence. And I think a blessing in disguise, too. I mean, the Big Ten is such a grind.
Ugh.
I think for Io to take a step back here, refresh his body, refresh his mind, sharpen his skills, like, to me, it's almost kind of this sneaky load management, you know,
the
NBA teams do kind of towards the end of regular season to get ready for the playoffs. To me, it can be kind of a blessing in disguise, you know, for Io individually, but also, you know, for our team.
I asked the worst question ever, and he gave the best answer. You are a professional coach. That's what I love about you.
few more minutes here with Stephen Gentry, Illini assistant coach. Follow him on Twitter at Coach S Gentry. You mentioned Io there. He was all smiles last night.
Yeah.
He was leading some defense chants. But just overall, there's a lot of attention on that bench, and it looked like a lot of fun that you guys were having. I mean, why wouldn't you be when you're up 28 in the second half? But what was that like? Just the guys on the bench, the energy, and after some of those big plays?
Those guys have been, you know, terrific all year. I mean, you go into these environments, you know, we're used to having, you know, obviously thousands and thousands of fans, both home and away.
Sure.
And that bench crew, you know, our scout team and our managers and support staff, I mean, just do a terrific job of bringing energy and bringing juice, so to speak. But it's not just when we are up, you know, like last night. There's so many times where, hey, we're in a rut, you know, or the other team's going on a run and they pick up the guys on the court. That, to me, that's just is a perfect visual of the culture that Brad has established here, that it's, you know, brothers supporting brothers here.
Sure.
and supporting your teammates, and it's not, I'm pouting on the bench, why am I not playing, or why, you know, this or that. It's just, again, just this all-in culture that Brad has established that, players, managers, everyone is so supportive and just in the fight right there, you know, with their teammates pushing and pulling them.
Last one for you, Coach. Before we had you on, we kind of talked about the excitement but the anxiety of the tournaments coming, and you know as well as anybody that just the fact that Illinois hasn't been back to the dance since 2013. Now, you, on the other hand, all you do is go to the tournament. Gonzaga, Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. Stephen F. Austin. Can you remind those of us out there that I've never covered a tournament, what's that like to see your name on Selection Sunday and go?
It's a special time of year. I mean, it just is. You know, you go through the off seasons, the weights, the conditioning, all the training, you know, the grind of the season. I mean, this is why we do all that for. And but also, I mean, it's not some mystical fantasy place. I mean, it's still just basketball, right? I mean, it's like the old clip from Hoosiers, you know, where he takes the players out on the court and shows them that the goal is still 10 feet high and the free throw line is still the same distance as the, you know, the gym back in Hickory. I mean, I think there's it's still the game of basketball. It's still what we do all year long. And again, we play hard every game. We practice hard every day. So just because now here down the road we'll be playing in the tournament doesn't, I don't think, change our mindset or approach in any way at all.
Awesome stuff. Stephen Gentry, and I loved at the very end of that game when Coleman Hawkins found Zach Griffith underneath the bucket for the layup, and I saw you kind of give like a fist pump, and I was like, to the final
that's
bucket.
That's the old walk-on in me. Walk-on in me, man. Just pulling for those guys. Azima, you know, didn't get a true senior night, right?
Right.
His family there, and just to see him score a bucket, you know, at Michigan on national TV. Yeah, that's the old walk-on in me pulling for Zach.
I loved it. Well, Coach, listen, we can't thank you enough for joining us today. You got so many things going on, and we really appreciate the time. Congrats on the big win last night. Good luck Saturday.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, buddy. Stephen Gentry, Illinois basketball assistant coach. He is the guy that is up and down and up and down and up and down because he's up on the offense, and then he kind of settles, then he gets back up on the offense, but he certainly does a wonderful job, and he's kind of an ear. Not that Coach Antigua, not that Chin Coleman, not that those guys don't play a huge role on this team. Do not get me wrong there. But I know Brad Underwood, especially on the offensive end, can kind of, you know, look at Stephen Gentry and know that he's going to get great advice from him.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have done a lot of winning together. And then just what he's brought as far as the ball screen offense, where the spread's not working last year. You go back into Big Ten play and kind of hands the reins to Gentry to come up with something and make it work, putting Io as that pick-and-roll decision-maker and Kofi running down the lane. It's worked beautifully. And here, especially during this 10 out of 11 stretch,
right,
they've got it going. They've got it going, and they can even do it, as they've shown here recently. They can do that even when Io's not out there with Curbelo, with Trent. And Gentry deserves a lot of credit for what that offense is doing.
Kofi picked up a third foul to start the second half. And there had to have been a little bit of a, ooh. And then what Georgie was able to do coming in there, scoring on a great move, I believe, around Davis. Who, by the way, Davis just quietly had a pretty good little game for Michigan. I don't know how he's making some of those shots, but, you know, I tweeted.
Aren't those funny?
Yeah, I tweeted out at half. I said, you're two slop baskets from Davis away from being up 15 against Michigan. But give him credit. I mean, he's going up against Kofi, and he made a couple of nice plays. But
he was their second leading scorer.
Is that crazy? Eli had what, 11?
Eli had 11.
One guy on Michigan scored double figures. Just let that resonate.
Zach Griffith had a better stat line than Franz Wagner.
Yeah, baby! Franz Wagner was frustrated, and you could tell that he just was, I think Hook that called earlier, he just said he had, you know, one of those moments. He was frustrated in that game. Illinois just did their job. They got up in their grill and said, we're going to be here doing this all night. Do you want to play? And Michigan, after about 20 minutes, said, nope, we don't. We want to take our ball and go home again. And Illinois said, well, you can't hide this time. boys. 76-53. Incredible.
Should we have another Big Ten title talk?
Yes. Yeah, because, yes, let's do that next. Can Illinois, I think the best Illinois can get to is 80%, 800%, 800 winning percentage. And for them to pass Michigan, they would have to lose twice to Michigan State. I want to ask you if it's doable.
There's also an argument that the Big Ten maybe should, if a certain circumstance happens,
okay,
maybe the Big Ten should back off the win percentage. I'll explain.
Really?
I'm not saying they will. Maybe they should.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. We'll talk about that next. That's a tease. It is the drive.
Hey, it's Jay Lehman, former Illini All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is your home for appliance repair. When buying a new appliance doesn't fit into your budget, Dick Van Dyke is also the go-to for fixing your old one. Dick Van Dyke technicians are ranked number one for appliance repair, winning three consecutive Reader's Choice Awards. Schedule service by phone or visit online 24/7 at appliance-world.com. That's appliance-world.com.
Visit Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing in Paxton. They're the area's premier Lennox system dealer. With a BBB A-plus rating and accreditation, you can trust their expert technicians to deliver the best heating, cooling, and plumbing services in our area. From maintenance and repairs on any make or model to the highly regarded AC and furnace installations, Dogtown is the name to call to guarantee your comfort for any month of the year. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, home of the $79 checkup and plumbing service call. Call 689-2166. Dogtown Heating and Air.
Sarah Champagne is growing. The same quality, the same neighborhood, but a new name, new brands, and new opportunities. Here's Executive Manager Ben Quattrone.
At Sarah Champagne, you're not just a customer, you're our guest. And we're proud to serve the great folks of Central Illinois. Please visit one of our four fantastic locations, and we'll service your current vehicle or help you find your next dream car.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Visit sarahchampagne.com. That's S-E-R-R-A champagne.com.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Ashley Home Store's ultimate event is going on now. For a limited time, get up to 25% off best-selling styles across the store. Plus, get no interest for 24 months with no minimum purchase. Whether you're updating one room or your entire home, find styles that fit your look and budget. These ultimate furniture savings won't last long, so hurry in or visit ashleyhomestore.com to shop and save today. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store, Ashley Home Store. This is home.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is having great deals in-store for all Illini Nation. For a limited time only, take advantage of their polo blowout sale. All polos are marked down 30%. Great deals on Illini hats as well. Buy one hat, get the second 50% off. You won't find better deals on Illini gear anywhere. Shop with Game Day Spirit at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online. GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Butch here with ServPro. Getting back to business means giving customers the confidence to walk through your doors. At ServPro of Champaign-Urbana, we're doing just that with certified ServPro Clean. Our proactive cleaning programs help reduce the spread of viral pathogens, adheres to CDC standards, and uses EPA-approved disinfectants. For a free quote, call ServPro of Champaign-Urbana at 355-0077. The company you've trusted for 30 years with fire and water cleanup can help you with COVID concerns. Franchises are independently owned and operated. Go to ServPro of Champaign-Urbana. For more information.
I was a singing fool yesterday, Pipes.
Were you really?
Yeah. I was feeling it. All right, Illinois 76, Michigan 53. Illinois is 15-4 in the Big Ten. A chance to get to 16-4, which would give them an 800 winning percentage in the Big Ten. If Michigan even wins one game against Michigan State, and they close the season, by the way, with two games against the Spartans. If they win one of those, mathematically, they're going to finish better than Illinois when it comes to winning percentage in the Big Ten.
Yes.
So,
what are the chances of Illinois, well, what are the chances of Michigan State beating them twice?
Is the first game in East Lansing?
No, it's in Ann Arbor.
Not that it matters. Well, maybe somebody even said on the text line, maybe Illinois broke Michigan to the point now where Michigan State can go. I mean, Michigan State's got a lot to play for. That's the one good thing. But, of course, Michigan, especially after getting trounced by Illinois, you know they're going to, well, the waffle stomped, you know they're going to want to get that Big Ten title.
For sure. There's no doubt about it. And to go into the last game, what a weekend that would be.
Oh.
As far as if the Spartans can go to Ann Arbor, win one, then the pressure on Michigan, particularly Illinois, going into Columbus and saying, hey, we can win and Michigan can lose and we can win this dang thing.
Is it Thursday night that Michigan and Michigan State play?
Okay. Yes.
And then, of course, Illinois would have to do their part in beating Ohio State to set up that Sunday game in East Lansing.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw some of the same things that I did, but it was kind of funny that seeing some of the Michigan narratives, like, oh, they were tired, you know. They finally kind of got worn down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Illinois just played their fourth game in 8 days.
I didn't see that. I'm glad I didn't see that because I'd be like, really? Shut up.
So we'll see there, but.
All right, so
it's setting up for Michigan State to make us mad all over again, right?
Right.
If they were to win Thursday, and then we all sit down on Sunday for a chance for Illinois to win the Big Ten title, and then the team that knocked Io out knocks them out of the Big Ten title spot by losing to Michigan.
Exactly. I think I told you guys, and then I want to hear Derek because I know you've got an idea or a thought. If you don't beat Ohio State Saturday, then I don't think Illinois fans should sit there and worry about not winning a Big Ten title. I mean, Michigan went and won at Columbus, and the only games left that Michigan hasn't played is like Northwestern, Nebraska, I think, Penn State, and Indiana. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, could they lose one of those? Certainly. Would they? Probably not. So, in that sense, if you can take down, like Trevor said, though, if Michigan State splits that series, that's when he'll be frustrated because if Illinois wins at Ohio State and then Michigan gets one of them, that's where it will become frustrating, and I'm with him on that. So,
because that would mean they'd have an 81-point-something win percentage and Illinois would have an 80% percentage. Meaning if you look at the standings, Illinois would finish with 16 wins, Michigan with 14, one percentage point separating them, and you beat them by 23.
Doesn't make any sense.
One interesting note, it's entertaining, and I kind of understand it, but the mixed emotions surrounding Michigan State for Illini fans right now, where some are like, come on, Spartans, let's pull through, let's help us out, where the others are like, ban Matty Sissoko from the Big Ten, and Tom Izzo should be suspended, even though that's not going to happen. Right. It'd be funny to see the reaction, like, comes out tomorrow, Tom Izzo suspended for the final two regulars, and they're like, come on!
No! You can't do that.
But to Trevor's point about Michigan potentially going 1-1 and you winning at Ohio State, if that were the case, Illinois would be 16-4.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan would be 14-3. So Illinois would be two up in the win column.
Right.
And only have one more loss. Plus, you beat them by 23 in the lone time that you guys met.
Right.
That's where the winning percentage thing, which we haven't even heard that officially from the Big Ten because they don't, communication is not a,
no, well, they don't do
not
that
a thing in their realm. That's what would really make you think and make you wonder maybe the Big Ten would decide, would they just say, hey, hands up, weird year, co-champs.
Yep, co-champs. And I think that'd be the fair way to do it. But it would be weird.
But then
for them.
The argument the other way is, statistically speaking, nothing about Illinois says they're in first.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
So then it's like, well, You know, I don't know. It makes sense to us, logically speaking, but then on the other side, statistically speaking, it probably doesn't make sense.
Daniel just said, personally, I feel if Michigan splits the MSU series and if we win at Ohio State, we should pull a UCF and raise the banner anyway next year. But none of that matters if we get the big one in March. I agree with that. You know who else did that?
Scott Frost!
That's my boy.
I just want them to go 2-0 or 0-2.
Yeah, because it would be weird to look back. Not that a lot of people would, but in 10 years, you look back at the Big Ten standings, and you're like, hold on a second. And there's like this asterisk that says Michigan and Illinois were co-champions, but yet Illinois was 16-4 and Michigan was whatever in 3, and they had a better winning percentage. And you're just like, boy, that doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. And I know, listen, it all, March is where it matters. I get that. But I love Big Ten titles. And I'm sure Brad Underwood in his contract has a little bit of a financial gain by winning a Big Ten championship as well. So, and he's been salty about that whole thing.
Yeah. There's a trophy that comes with it. They put a banner. Like, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
By the way, random, but credit to Illinois for getting to 20. At 16-4, because I mean they had like three separate 10-day periods where I felt like they didn't play.
Amen.
So the fact that they're actually getting the number of games in that they were supposed to feels kind of miraculous.
Great point. And hopefully those back-to-back kind of gets them in a kind of a NCAA groove, you know, because you got to do that without preparation or with one-day prep, in other words. And Illinois was able to do that 2 or 3 times. So the younger you are on the team, the more you can learn from that. So maybe that'll be something that down the road will help. Hey, we want to thank Stephen Gentry for joining us, Illinois basketball assistant coach. He just did. So when you podcast the show, it's stevyj.com. That's J-A-Y.com. You can listen back to the Stephen Gentry. We talked all about Illinois getting it done over Michigan 76-53. Well done, boys. Pipes, you're going to sleep tonight. I got to go coach a basketball game, and then I'm going to sleep tonight. And Trevor's probably going to stay up till 3.
Yep.
I love it.
You got it.
I love it. Boy, the youth of the world is nice to have. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Good win, ILL.